November. I was talking with Sarah right before the service, and we were talking about how it's kind of like the third quarter of a race, right? You can't see the finish line yet, but man, you're tired. So I feel that for you guys, with you guys. And this morning, I just want to tell you a story. Is that okay? Thanks. Once upon a time, in a village, there was a village in a land far, far away. It was a small village, but there were a number of families in it, and so at any one point in the day, you could hear the collective shouts and giggles of kids in their imaginative worlds playing. Now, kids have to be taught, right? Their imaginations can only take them so far. Everything from sleeping through the night to eating solids to walking and talking and knowing what's right and wrong and how to grow up and what virtues to cultivate. Kids just have to be taught these things. And it's actually a happy coincidence because adults usually love to teach these things. Right? People who have lived longer have a lot of wisdom and experience that young people don't have, so it works out well. And this is something that this particular village noted and took pretty seriously. And so every day as the sun rose high in the sky, the youth would be all corralled and gathered together and would sit in one big squirmy mess, and the elders from the village would come out and they would teach them about life, about faith, about the world. Now, this was a really, really long time ago, This was once upon a time before iPads and school buses, and even before books were a thing that people just had in their towns. And so teaching and learning was done orally, mostly through listening and then repeating and memorizing. And so every day, these elders with wrinkles on their faces and with gray hair would look into these squirrely, sweet, sometimes mischievous faces, and they would pass on simple sayings. They were short. They were pithy. They were easy to memorize. They were instructions for life. "Repeat after me," the elders would say. And a whole choir of little voices would chime in until it was seared in their memory. But this wasn't just about the teacher wanting the kids to memorize these short little sayings. It wasn't just the head knowledge that they wanted, not just the information. They wanted these kids to internalize these sayings, to chew on them again and again and again. Like chewing on a grain of spice again and again and again until it yields its full flavor. They wanted students to understand where the saying came from, why it's important, how to use it in real life. In other words, they wanted students to understand the big message that's packed into this tiny little saying. You see, the goal behind all of this listening, repeating, and memorizing was to teach the younger generation to be wise people, to encourage them to grow up in wisdom. And so to make sure that the teacher was getting this major point across to the class, and because the teacher realized they were teaching kids, you L.Ed. majors might get this, they personified the idea of wisdom. They made wisdom a person, a character. Wisdom is weird, right? It's abstract, it's philosophical, it's hard to understand and to put your finger on. You can't make a checklist in the morning, things I need to do to be wise, right? But when you talk about wisdom as a person, it catches your imagination. You can all of a sudden visualize it and maybe learn something about it. You'll have an easier time actually grasping the concept and then hopefully living it out. Wisdom personified was the best way to teach it to students. And so after years and years of teaching this orally, someone finally decided to write the teacher's curriculum down. It'd be easier to use that way, easier to pass along to other people. And so we have the book of Proverbs. This is how the book of Proverbs was born. This is the context in which it sits. This is the story that holds it up, right? The book of Proverbs begins with these words: for learning about wisdom, for gaining instruction in righteousness, in justice, and equity, to teach knowledge to the young and to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise. And with that, the teacher begins the listening and the repeating and the memorizing of proverb after proverb, chapter after chapter. But right away, in chapter one, our main character takes the stage. Wisdom cries out in the street, the teacher says. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. And she says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? I've poured out my thoughts to you," she says, "but you've ignored all my counsel. But those who listen to me will be secure." The book continues with proverb after proverb in chapter after chapter, and every now and then our main character appears in the distance, calling out to us, telling us to listen to her, to seek her out, to follow her, and then she vanishes. And we continue with proverb after proverb and chapter after chapter. I imagine those little minds in the midst of this very strict learning regiment were awakened anytime they heard the voice of Lady Wisdom. Imagination stirred with curiosity whenever they caught a glimpse of her in the corner of their eye, before then going back to the listening and repeating and memorizing of Proverbs. Now, throughout this whole curriculum, Lady Wisdom continues to be elusive, a Where's Waldo of sorts. We've got to pay attention when she pops up and in and out. We've got to keep our eyes open and find her and run after her when she appears. We've got to seek her out. We've got to strain to listen to her voice the whole entire book until we finally catch a glimpse of her, a chance to really see her, to get to know her. Our high-speed chase through Proverbs for Lady Wisdom finally comes to a climax in chapter 31, when Lady Wisdom finally sits down and the teacher describes her. A valorous wife who can find. She's far more precious than jewels, he says of Lady Wisdom. The heart of her husband trusts her and she does good. She seeks wool and flax. She works with her willing hands. She's like the ships of a merchant, and she brings her food from far away. She rises while it's still night when it's dark, and she provides food for her household. She gives tasks to her servants. She considers a field and then buys it. And with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the staff. Her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and she extends her hand to the needy. She's not afraid for her house when it snows, for all her house is clothed in crimson. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city, and she makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and teaches of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her house. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and they call her happy. Her husband, too, praises her. Many women have done excellently, he says, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works be praised. Let her works praise her in the city. This, the teacher says, is what wisdom looks like in a person. This is what we want you to be like. Whether you are young or old, whether you are good at mathematics or athletics or relationships, whether you are going to be a farmer or a soldier or a teacher, whether you are going to be married or single, whether you are a guy or a girl, the teacher points to Lady Wisdom here in the conclusion of the book of Proverbs, and he says, we want you to be this person. Embody this Lady Wisdom. All of these proverbs that you have been listening to and memorizing and repeating, they all lead up to this. They help you become wise like this character. So live in such a way that even those who are closest to you trust you. Even more, they sing your praises. Be a faithful person. Work willingly and willingly work hard. Don't just consume, consume, consume. Instead, produce things. Add to things. Be sustainable. Meet the needs of those who depend on you. Lead your followers well. Guide them to know what to do and how to do it. Do big things. But don't be so big that you can't get your own hands dirty and plant the seeds. Be strong and realize that you have good gifts to offer the world. Take care of the poor. Don't just stay in your bubble. Reach out to the needy. Have confidence and have the confidence of your family and friends. Enjoy the fruit of your hard work and let your hard work enjoy you. Clothe yourself in strength and dignity and let wisdom flow from your mouth. There is no other place in all of the literature from ancient Near East that matches this tribute to a woman's strength, dignity, and social action. And if we're just talking about our own Bible, this is unequivocally the most flattering portrait of any individual, any character in the entire Old Testament. So often the church co-opts this passage for certain groups of people, and what a loss! If we're looking for a detailed description in the Bible of what a godly person looks like, of what someone looks like when they live out the gospel of Jesus Christ with their whole self, look no further. Proverbs 31 is the example for us all to strive after. And of course, we believe that God is the ultimate source and embodiment of all wisdom. And so this passage then also gives us a glimpse at what God is like, an Old Testament precursor to what it would look like if God took on flesh. God is clothed in strength and dignity, and wisdom flows from God's mouth. We live in a world where it's easy to find people that you don't want to be like or look up to, and that has its place. But perhaps we need less of that and more of Lady Wisdom. Perhaps we need more thinking about wisdom as a person, about God in the flesh, ultimately about Jesus. So let that stir our imaginations as we step into each new day in this world. Go in peace.